Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
We were worshiping this morning that the songs just matched perfectly with what God was speaking to my spirit. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. And for a lot of us, this is going to be a familiar passage, but when Pastor and Jolene asked me to speak a couple of weeks ago, I agreed, and I immediately began to go into prayer and just kind of mull over, God, what is it that you want to say? God, what is it that you need your people to hear? And this topic kept coming up, and I wasn't quite sure where he wanted me to go with it. And over the last couple of days, and especially last night, I think God began to give me a clear picture of where we are. So Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over. But there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. And he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and because you come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel, then you shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves, I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. All right, so I want to talk a little bit about this situation. And before we get any further, we need to understand the context of what was happening here. So Ezekiel, he goes out into this valley, and there's bones scattered everywhere. And these are the bones of Israelites. These are the bones of his people. And we don't really exactly know all of the details, but we know there was a great battle. And that they were pretty much completely destroyed. In fact, it was so big and such an utter destruction that there was nobody left to bury the bones. There was nobody left to bury the dead. And they were just left out there. This was because they were in exile. And they were in exile because they just couldn't get along with one another. And that's a sermon for another day. But they were in exile. They were defeated. And here's Ezekiel. And verse 1, it says that the Spirit of the Lord brought him out. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit today about how sometimes we go through our own valley of dry bones. How sometimes in life we find ourselves dry and destroyed and without hope. And I know of many people who have been in those situations and have come out, and God has done great things in them. But we have to understand that it starts first with being able to be led by the Spirit. We have to understand, how do we follow the Spirit? How does He work in our lives? And the best example I can think of is one that will either make you laugh or make you mad at me. And that's okay. There was a time when I was running from God. And I had kind of basically got in with the wrong crowd. And I was partying. And if you're at a party, you can very quickly recognize when somebody is under the influence of alcohol. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. And here's how you know it. They walk differently. Yeah, that's the first sign. They walk differently. And then they begin to talk differently. And the kid who was shy and in the corner and didn't say anything all week in class, all of a sudden he's around, "Hey, I love you. You're my best friend. You're so great. Woo!" And you're like, "What? You're on something. Something's got you." But see, when we're in that influence, here's the thing. I could go to the parties, and I could be around it. I could see people doing it. I could recognize what that liquor and that alcohol is doing to them, but it wouldn't do anything to me unless I partook. All right, so now over here we say, okay, I can go to church, I can be around, I can recognize that the Holy Spirit's moving, I can see that some people walk a little bit differently, I can see that they talk a little bit differently. Because see, when the Spirit comes on, you don't have to try to use good language. You don't have to try to say nice things. When the Spirit's on you, when you're under that influence, it just comes out. You don't have to try to love people. If it was just up to me, I wouldn't love people. They're all right. But see, when the Spirit comes on, you walk a little bit differently. You talk differently. You respond to people differently. You respond in love. You respond in grace. But here's the thing. If I don't ever partake of the Holy Spirit, that doesn't happen. I can be in church all week long, every day, 24/7. But if I never partake, if I never participate in the Holy Spirit, that means nothing. It will never happen. So Ezekiel was led by the Spirit. Church, if you are in a place where you're saying, "I've got my own valley of dry bones. I've got my place where I feel hopelessness." God's got to take you by the Spirit. You've got to let go, participate in what the Holy Spirit's doing in order to get your answer. Whew. And He set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. And He caused me to pass by them all around. And He said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?"
Ezekiel, look over here. Can those bones live? Can they get up and walk around? Can they fight for you? No? Okay, come over here. What about these ones? What can you do with these? No? Or out. Come over here. Where's your hope? You have hope in these? You got hope over here? Where is it? Ezekiel, find it. Can these bones live? What hope do you have? And Ezekiel, of course, in his circumstance goes, God, you know. Which is really, if we're honest, a really safe answer. Right? That's one of those, God, are you tricking me? Kind of questions. Because you don't want to say, no, God, these bones can't live. Because you're like, well, I know you're God, and, you know. But if I say yes, I don't. Can you ask the question a little bit differently, God? Because I'm confused. But we get into our situations. We get into our life. And here's the thing. We have to find the place where we're in our valley of dry bones. And God is kind enough and ruthless enough to walk us around in the mess of the valley that we made. All right, Darren, come over here. See this mess? See this death? You caused it. Can it come to life? Can you fix this? What hope do you have? Okay, come over here. Come, see, that you put your hope in this. Where's your hope now? Can it come to life? Can it fight for you? Can it give you hope? Can it support you? God will walk you around your valley and all of the things that are dead. I want to tell you a little bit about a valley that I went through. I was just finishing up college, and I was living in a fifth wheel in the church parking lot between the parsonage and the church. So I was blessed. The fifth wheel was, you know, pretty big. It had a slide out. There were hookups. But I was living in the church parking lot between the pastor and the church. And what that meant was that my house became a jungle gym for the pastor's kids. And when I was not in the spirit and they were playing underneath, I used to push the slide out button because it would make that really loud noise just to freak them out. And what ended up happening is I went and I got involved in ministry. I had my first step of licensure in this church of God, and I was serving. And what happened was I was working full time. I had finished, and I didn't have a continual job, but I was working and I was ministering. And because I was in the church parking lot, for whatever reason, the pastor there decided that meant that I was like on duty 24/7. And so if the pastor was woken up by God in the middle of the night, there would be a tapping at my door. God speaking to me, you must wake up and listen too. It is 3 a.m. Nobody hears nothing. But you'd have to walk over to cross the parking lot, over to the church. And I want you to understand that what ended up happening is I was performing a lot of duties. I was doing a lot of work. And nobody could argue that I wasn't at the church enough. I lived there. Literally. But my life became a valley of dry bones. Because while I was around the Spirit, while I was around the miracles of God, I wasn't partaking. And I became very dry.
I became very bitter. In fact, I kind of began to question what role God really played in my life. And as God often does, he had to take me low. He had to take me to the bottom. And there was a night that I was balancing my checkbook, which when you're that age, it meant I'm going to call the bank and see what they tell me my balance is. And then I'm going to try to remember if I wrote somebody a check. And so I called, and it was about halfway through the month, and I called, and the little automated voice of doom said, "Your balance is $47.19. And I went, "Oh, I still have a half a month to go through, and I don't know if you've spent any time in a fifth wheel, but those refrigerators are like really small, and it was like half empty then." And I looked around, and I thought, that's not even going to be enough gas to get me to work and back, and then there's no food, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I went over to, I don't know, it was a pastor's meeting or some meeting or conference or something. And I remember the pastor said something like, and this is what I appreciate about Pastor Gary, is the pastor said, so I was looking over the tithe reports, and I see that you didn't pay your tithes. Really? Because I just checked my bank. It's really low. I said, okay. He goes, if you're going to be working with it, you got to pay your tithes. And he checked. He checked all the time. And at that point, I paid my tithes out of obligation, right? It was so that he wouldn't come knocking on my door as the church police. And so I went back, and I was like, I don't have enough left to even pay what was supposed to be my tithes. And then I have to look at gas, and I have to look at money. And I broke. And I remember sitting there on the couch so frustrated, so angry, so hopeless. And I remember crying out to God, but not like in a good way. Kind of like that angry cry out to God. Like, I am serving you. Do you know how much I'm doing? I am tired. And I have nothing left. And now I'm supposed to pay my tithes that I can't even do that. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And I sat there angry for a little bit. And then I opened up my Bible. And God led me right to the place where it says, God speaking says, test me in this. Hey, most of the time, God says, don't test me. You don't want to know what happens when you test me. Right, just like you don't test mom, because she will deliver. But God says, here, in this area, go ahead. Go ahead and test me. And he said, and here, test me in this. If you give, it will be given back to you. More. And it had to be the Holy Spirit, because every fiber in my being did not want to do this. It was late at night, and I wrote out a check
for every penny that was in my account. It was not enough. It wasn't what was supposed to be my tithes, but it was everything I had. I wrote it. I walked over to the church. I threw it under the office door that I didn't have a key to, so that I knew I couldn't get it back. Because if I left it on my counter, I could have void. I was in my PJs, walking over angry. You know, sometimes we serve God just as we are. I can't believe I'm doing this. I stood there looking at that door, and I had this, and I'm like, okay, wait, you know, then the bargain. Okay, but it's not really my tithes, because it's not the whole thing. But God, you saw that I was willing. Where's your ram? Somebody come give me some money. Where's that rich lady? But I put it under there. And I knew, like, this was dumb. I had nothing left. So I went back to my fifth wheel. And I sat down and I said, okay, God, I tested you. Okay, God, I need you to do something. And the funny thing is, what I thought I needed was money. What I thought I needed was finances, was support. But what God was helping me to understand was he wanted me to look around my situation and realize that it had nothing to do with money. It had nothing to do with that. He wanted me to look around and see how dry I had become, to see how much I was lacking his spirit in my life. And so I began to pray and I said, God, I gave, I tested, I need you to pour it back. God, you said it would be poured back tenfold. God, you said it would be given back to me. And the coolest thing that's ever happened in my life, God's presence filled that little RV in the church parking lot. And for the first time in my life, he gave me a vision. I remember I was sitting up praying, and when I came out of the vision, I was flat on my back. Don't know how I got there, but God gave me a vision, and he had me in a valley, and he said, I'm taking you up the mountain. And we got up the mountain a ways, and he said, no, I'm taking you higher. And we went up. And he said, no, I'm taking you higher. And it kept going. We kept going up and up. And when I thought that I was high, when I thought that I got to a place where I was excited to not be in the valley, God said, no, higher. I'm taking you farther. There's more. And then I woke up and I was flat on my back. And I mean, I don't know if you've ever been just heavy under the weight of the Spirit. It was like I couldn't get up. I was awake. I was looking around and I thought, I'm paralyzed. And I just began to sing and to worship. There was no music. There was nothing. I was just in the presence of God, just worshiping him and thankful. And then I remember calling Angie on the phone. And I was telling her about this. She was really excited. She's like, so what do you think that means? I was like, I don't know, but I'm going up a mountain. I don't know, but it's good. I felt good. My spirit felt good. I have no idea what that means. And so I was just on fire for God. And to this day, I don't know how finances worked. There was no big miracle. There was no big this, that, or the other. I just know that I got through the month somehow. It just worked out. Right? So God's like, see, I told you. But that wasn't, again, that wasn't what he was trying to teach me. So we had youth services. I was the youth pastor at the time. We had youth services on Sunday night. And we had been struggling. And so I said, okay, God, woo, I feel you. There is power. You just done, I've done a great thing. God, I am so excited for Sunday night. I know that you're going to do something. And I showed up into the basement of the church that we had for the youth. And I was like, woo. And nobody came. Nobody. It was just me. Looking around like, I had a really great message. And so I prayed. And I said, God, what is this? You said that you were taking me up the mountain. This doesn't look like up the mountain. This looks like the valley. And he reaffirmed, I'm taking you up the mountain. I'm taking you up the mountain. So I said, okay, God, take me up the mountain. Take me higher. Take me closer to your presence. And the next week, I had one. And it was the pastor's kid, and he wasn't actually old enough to be in the youth group. And I said, God, I got a pity person. The pastor felt bad for me and sent me a son. But God began to help me to understand. Right? He walked me around that youth room. It was a cool youth room. But this basement part, we had a built-in snack area. We had chain link fence. We had a pool table, air hockey table, Xbox gaming room that was gifted to us. And I was like, this is awesome. Where is everybody? God began to take me around. Is there life in this? Is your hope in this? Yeah, you got a really cool snack bar. Is there life in this? Is there hope in this? And God began to help me to understand that I needed to prophesy to my situation. Because see, God promised me that he was taking me higher. God promised me that he was doing a work. And I had to speak to it. And so I began to speak to the youth group. Youth group, you're going to grow. You're going to grow in the name of Jesus. Not for me, not for my glory, not for me to be cool, but because God said this was going to happen. God promised me this was going to happen. God brought me here, and he's not leaving me here. He's taking me higher. So you're going to grow. I'm not going to accept that. You're going to grow. And God began to grow it. And when we left, I think we're averaging about 32. Don't think that's not for me. That's God. God did that. Right? But then here's the thing. Because he's God, he says, move. And I need you to go over here. And I need you to youth pastor over here. And there we were in the valley again. And in fact, it was okay because we started out with like 15. And then I was like, I started with zero. We got to 32. What's God going to do with 15? He shrunk it. I was like, this is going to be great. Woo, 15. God, do your thing. God said, all right, here's 6. In fact, here's 6 of the geekiest, nerdiest, most antisocial group that you are ever going to get. And here's just so I'm going to rub it in. This is, God just says, I'm going to send visitors like every week. And your group's going to be so awkward that they can't even interact with them. Hey, there's a visitor. You should go introduce yourself. Come on. Go on.
Hi, it's nice to meet you. And I was frustrated. I said, God, what are you doing? He said, I didn't take you here to leave you here. I didn't take you here to leave you in this spot. And so I said, okay, God, do your thing. Do your thing, God. And we were at Generation Unleashed conference, and we were at the house that we had rented, and we were in the living room, and one of the shyest, geekiest, nerdiest of all of the kids, the king of the nerds, the Holy Spirit came on him. And he began to speak in a loud voice, which if you know him, that's not like him. See, he was partaking, right? You were under the influence because that's not who you are. And he began to prophesy that in a year, we would have 75 in attendance in a youth service. And I said, ooh, God, take the six. Make them 75. Do it. Do it, God. I'm like, woo! I've seen you do it. I know you can do it. And so we got our youth services going again. And we got to summer. And then summer happened. And it was, this person was here and this family was there. And we just fizzled. We fizzled in so that all we were doing was having a Bible study Sunday morning. And that's where we were. And then God reminded me of the prophecy he gave me. And I said, God, I don't know what to do. We're not even having a youth service. There's not even a place for the 75 to come. He said, I didn't bring you here to leave you here. You need to speak to the situation. You need to prophesy what I've promised. And so we begin to pray. We begin to prophesy. We begin to speak to the kids and say, this is what's going to happen. God promised it, and so it's going to happen. And on the last Friday of February of the following year, we had a youth service, and I was nervous. I said, God, I need you to show up. I need you to do something. Because the last time we got together, there were six of us. There are 75 that week. These nerds had come alive. They reached out. And they had so much faith. They didn't question it at all. And so, oh man, I was flying. My God, this is awesome. We're at the top of the mountain. Woo! Next week, 100. Next week was 10. The week after that was 5. So God, you took one. We had six strong, and then one went away. God called us out to come here. I think our last youth service was like 6. And I was so disappointed. I was so hurt. I said, God, I don't understand. But God helped me to see what he was doing in those 6. Because when we left the group of 32, they were great, and they were fine and everything, and it was a good time. But that 6 that we left, that 6 was prophesying. That 6 was speaking in tongues. That 6 was participating in miracles and helping their family to understand God and come to God. And they were the active part of the church. If we looked at that church, it was those 6 that were breathing life into their own dry bones. And I said, okay, God, I can walk away, please. I can walk away seeing that
It had nothing to do with numbers and that you were bringing me higher, helping me to see that my job is not to build a church of people. But God, that you are building an army of those filled with the Spirit, those strong and courageous. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, a sudden rattling. Church, where is your desperation? Where in your life is a valley of dry bones? Because I believe that I hear the sound of rattling bones. I believe that there are places where you can say, this is not what God promised to me. This is not what God prophesied to me. And I'm going to prophesy, you're going to come to life. You're not going to stay this way. God promised that my family was going to be healed. I'm going to prophesy to that. I'm going to speak life into that. I believe that there are situations. See, these bones weren't just skeletons like we see, like the bones just laid out. The bones were scattered. They were everywhere. It was a mess. And the first thing as he began to speak was things were getting into alignment. And it was noisy and bones were clinking together and it would have been so scary. Like, picture this, like all these bones. Clink, 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 clink. And muscles and tendons and skin is growing on these things that were completely dead. And there are these lifeless bodies. I believe that as a church, we're at a place where we've spoken to some of the things. There's been some alignment. Some of the bones have been crinkling. Some of the muscles have been building. But it's time that we speak life into those things. It's time that we prophesy and say, get up, wake up, we've got work to do. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, wake up. Oh, no, 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 no. You need to prophesy to your neighbor, say, wake up. Do you believe it? Say, wake up. I don't believe you. I don't see that you're speaking into them. Tell them to wake up. We got work to do. There's things that we need to do. There's men marrying men. There's women becoming men. There's men becoming. We got to wake up. Speak life. You're going to get up from there. You're not going to be that way. God said that you are not going to be that way. Stop praying. God, if this is your will, I pray that you would take care of this situation. God, you said in your word. You said in your word that it's going to be this way. I speak life into that. You will get up. You will start prophesying. I can tell you, I speak life into the youth. That they will go out. They will fulfill the great commission that God has said that they would do. God, I believe it's the end times. And guess what, God? You said that in the end times that sons and daughters would prophesy. Wake up. Wake up their spirits and have them prophesy. God, have them be the leaders that you've called them to be. God, if that's who they are. God, if it's in their personality. God, we have a design of who we're supposed to be. We have a design of how we're supposed to behave. We're going to speak that into one another. And that comes from the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, fill this person. Holy Spirit, wreak havoc in that situation. Holy Spirit, we believe what you can do and we know you're going to do it. See, it's not demanding God. That we have to understand that we're not telling God what to do. God already told us what he's going to do. We're just saying, God, do it. God, we give you control. We give you permission. Do it. Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. These bones are scattered. Because the enemy had come in and captured. The enemy had come in and taken control of the land. I don't know, but if when I look around, I see the enemy's got some control of the land. And when I look around, I see some mighty men and women of God who are just sitting back and saying, there's nothing we can do. I don't know what to do. I'm just going to sit here until Jesus comes back. That's dry bones. You're going to waste away there. God, right now I pray that you would give us a spirit of unity. God, that we would not be one church against another church, one denomination against another denomination. Because, God, that's what caused the split of your people. That's what allowed the enemy to come in and take control of the land. But God, you said this is the whole house of Israel. Everybody, every denomination, every person that calls out to me, I'm bringing them back together. Our bones are dry. Our hope is lost. We ourselves are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, my people, I will open your graves. Whatever hope is dead, whatever dream that God gave you that you have buried and put away, God says, I am opening that grave. And you will come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. God says, whatever you buried, whatever thing that I prophesied to you, whatever I spoke into your spirit and you let die, God says, right now I want you to speak to it and tell it to get up. Tell it to wake up. Tell those dry bones, breathe, live again, because I've got to fulfill the prophecy that I spoke to you. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Then you're really going to know who I am. And everybody around you is going to know who I am. Every time God or Jesus did a miracle, people were around watching. Wasn't that man lame? He couldn't walk. Wasn't that man blind? He couldn't see. Wasn't that person hopeless? Didn't that person have a speech impediment? Wasn't that person just like dumb? What are they doing? How did that work? God did something. I gotta figure this out. I gotta go to wherever they're going. I gotta hear whatever they're hearing. I gotta listen to whatever they're listening to. You better be listening to the Holy Spirit. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. God, I thank you. God, I thank you that you are giving us back the land you promised. God, that you are giving us the spirit that you promised. God, that you are giving us the baptism that you promised. God, that we can speak to these dry bones, we can speak to these valleys, we can speak to these dead things, and they will live again. God, we speak to these things for your glory and for your honor. God, we don't want to be known because of the works that you are doing. We want you to be known. We want you to be famous. We want your word to spread, God. I know this is unlike what we normally do, but Pastor's not here, so. But I don't feel like we can leave this place without taking some time to speak to those dead places in our lives. Without taking some time to prophesy to those valleys in our lives. So if somebody from the worship team can come up, perfect. Worship. Begin to ask God. He'll take you. Be ready. Because he's going to take you through your valley. He's going to show you the places that you once put your trust. See, the people of Israel put their trust in their numbers. God just had to remind him, your numbers are gone. Your hope, what you were leaning on, that's gone. Guess who's still here? Me. God says, guess who's still here? Me. Can you do anything to make these bones come back alive? You know, God. Can you do anything to make that marriage thrive? You know, God. Can you do anything to bring back those children of yours? You know, God. Can you do anything to repair that calling and ministry? You know, God. He says, speak to it, life. Prophesy what I've already spoken to you, to those things. So as we continue into worship, if there are some places where you need to speak to, that you need to prophesy to, that you need to pour life back into, I want you to come down to the altar. And I don't want you to leave until those dry bones are awakened, until you hear the clinking of those bones coming back into alignment. If that's you, come.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.